Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Oh my God, why did I post that? Ah, I don't know what to do. Should I delete that?
Yeah, you should definitely delete that.
We are so happy and proud that this episode is sponsored by Button Up Box, a brand that we love for many reasons.
As you'll probably already know if you follow us both on Instagram, Button Up Box is a fresh dog food delivery service that delivers straight to your door and takes into consideration all of your dog's dietary needs. The brand started with a rescue dog, which we obviously love, and Betty and Boo have absolutely thrived on it.
Button Up Box genuinely care about their dogs, and their ethos is that good enough for the dog is not good enough. Dogs deserve better. The meals are comprised of quality meat, veg, lentils, vitamins and minerals, and don't contain any grain, wheat, gluten, corn, soy or sugar, all of which are known to cause intolerances in dogs.
We haven't been asked to say this, but we wanted to highlight the huge amount of work the Button Up Box do with dog charities. They donate meals to dogs in shelters, and they even donate freezers so that the shelters can store the meals.
If you would like to try Button Up Box out for your dog, you can get 50% off your first two boxes with the following link: www.buttonupbox.com/AlexandM. Hi. Hola.
Hello.
Bonjour. That's it.
Oh, there we go. Nice.
Yeah, that's literally as many languages as I know hello in, which is embarrassing. What's hello in German? Hi. No, I don't know.
Oh my God, why can't I think of this? Hi.
I don't know, you're the linguist.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, good. We smashed that. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I don't sound great, but I'm good.
You've got a sore throat, haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. I feel like I haven't spoken to you in ages. I know we had a meeting together yesterday, but I was really rude to you. And then we went for our separate days, and that was kind of that. Yeah, I just slagged off your outfit. But otherwise, I've not seen you. I've not heard from you. And I've missed you loads. I'm happy. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to have you in my presence. It's all good.
No, yeah, you did slag me off. We'll get to that, actually. That might feature in today's episode.
I still love...
The postman's here. Sorry.
The postman? Is it the postman that's here? You love a postman.
I do. But maybe this is a good time, actually, to go into my awkward...
Okay, go into it. It's my fault and I'm sorry and I love you.
Fault.
And you're so pretty and you're so good at getting dressed.
No.
And I just love you.
No, it's too late, Em. It's too late. So, as we've been talking about on the podcast, dressing summery, and I was like, oh my God, today's the day, right? I'm going into town and I'm going to dress summery. And I checked the weather and it said 23 degrees. And I remember you saying that 23 meant no jacket, right? So I was like, I'm not going to wear a jacket for once. I'm going to wear a white linen skirt, which was really pretty, like had a frill at the bottom, a little black bodysuit. And like, I was like, over, rather than a denim jacket, which I wear all the time, I was like, I'm going to wear this little blue short sleeve shirt that I've got and like wear it open. Cute. Anyway, mistake, because as soon as I left the house, it was fucking raining, but I was too late to go around and change. So I was like, oh my God, I try and do something nice. So I get into town and we go to this meeting and we're halfway through the meeting and Em just is like staring at my shirt, like staring at it. I'm like, what? And she says, you look like a postman in the summer.
It's the Royal Mail. It's the Royal Mail summer uniform. It's a short sleeve blue shirt. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mean like you look like the postman, because your outfit was so pretty and you looked so nice. And I was so proud of you. So when I saw you walking down the street looking so summery, I was like, oh my God. It was like pouring with rain. I was like, who is that? She's totally fucked it, but she looks great. And I loved your outfit, but you know when you're staring at something and it really reminds you of something? And I was looking at that shirt and I was like, where do I know that shirt from? And then I realised that it's the guy at the sorting office wears it every day because they wear the pale blue shirt. And if you Google it, we found it. It's a pale blue shirt with the little red Royal Mail sticker on it.
Literally, all I was missing was
it wasn't like you, it wasn't like you just looked terrible. It was just that that shirt just triggered a response in me, a memory. Did you enjoy your summery outfit?
I did. I did. But now that shirt, all I see is Postman.
I'm really sorry.
All I see is Postman. But I did enjoy the summery outfit and I enjoyed feeling like almost chilly.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, I'd say that is nice. But also, I just want to say like Postman is not cinnamon.
It's not cinnamon bun.
Sorry, it's not synonymous. I fell out of my mouth. It's not. Oh my god, it's not synonymous with insulting. Like it's by no means a bad thing to look like the postman. It was just that outfit. Like if you'd have shown up in like a chunky black jacket with hi-fi on it, I'd have been like, "Hey, you look like a fire person." You know,
yeah,
so
it's just not the vibe I was going for, I guess.
Yeah, if you'd have shown up in like a hard hat with a bit of checkered ribbon around it, I'd been like, oh, please, person.
So, your turn. What do you want to start with?
Well, I think we have to start with a bad, that is that this week, Dame Deborah James passed away, which... Obviously, we knew was coming. Deb's sort of said her farewell a fair few weeks ago now, and since then has gone on to do amazing things. As of this morning, the Bowel Babe Fund is at £7 million, which is extraordinary. She's just the most extraordinary woman. It's like, I just keep thinking of the Elton John candle in the wind, and it's just like your candle's burned out long before your legend ever will. And I really feel like that's very true for Debs, but it's, and I'm pleased she can rest now and she's at peace now, but it's very sad that the world has lost somebody so amazing.
Truly, like what an astonishing present, like what an astonishing person. It's unbelievable the impact she has had, and it would be like it's so easy for someone in her position to just have retreated, and like that would have been absolutely fine too, but the sheer amount that she's done and achieved throughout her diagnosis is just unbelievable. And I mean, £7 million, that's just
extraordinary.
And that's only the Bowel Babe Foundation, right? That's not that much. Like the amount of fundraising she did prior to setting up the foundation, like God knows how much
the Rebellious Hope t-shirts within the style raised over $1 million. So accumulatively, you know, she must have raised tens of millions. And and in the process as well, the things that, and I was lucky enough to be friends with Deb, and I know this is a feeling shared among her friends, but also among the people that followed her, is as well as raising a great amount of money and awareness, she also taught us such an extraordinary amount about how to live, like I've never, and how to die, you know. She totally changed the conversation, and I've never known anybody like it, and I doubt I ever will again. I've never known someone that just makes you so relentlessly grateful to be alive. And I remember once when I just run New York Marathon, like literally just done it, she sent me a text going, I'm signing you up to London Marathon. And I was on the tube and I replied, go fucking hell. And she went, and she went, oh, come on, it'll be fun. I'm doing it. And I lost signal and I was on the tube like, oh Christ, she's going to do it. She's going to do it. And by the time I had signal at the other side, she's like, done. She's like, see you in October. I was like, fucking hell. But you can't say no to Debs, and you just didn't want to, because everything that she did was so fun. Yeah. And she was doing it in the face of every struggle, every piece of adversity that came her way, you know, even when her body was just in full rebellion against her, she just kept on pushing. Yeah. It was just the most extraordinary thing to witness, you know, whether that be in real life or online. And I think so many people have taken so much from her, and she's just the most extraordinary person. And it's a huge loss, but her legacy will live on forever among anybody that ever got to witness anything she ever did. So we're going to put the link to the Baobabe Fund in the description, and also to the Rebellious Hope t-shirts that Deb's designed within the style. They now come in lots of different colours and sizes. So if you'd like to get your hands on one of those, I think the message is really special, but also the money is going to a great place. I think, do you know what? Deb's would not want anybody sitting here and wallowing. So can we pick this back up? Can we have a good, Al? Can we have a reason to smile today? Something that's made you happy?
Yeah. My good's not really like a smiley kind of thing. I'm regretting that now. But my good is just very simply, like, it's no big, huge deal, but I've decided to freeze my eggs. And I've actually made consultations, and I'm going to go ahead with it and do it. And it's been something that I've been thinking about for a really long time. And there are obviously like cost implications to think about and a ton of other stuff as well. Like, I might not even be a candidate, blah, blah, blah. But I'm pleased that I'm starting the process and like doing something that I really have wanted to do. So
that's amazing. That's exciting.
I feel, and God, it's so cheesy, the word empowered, but it makes me feel empowered to be like taking control of something that you kind of can end up feeling like you've not got much control over. So that feels really good, and that's my good. Yeah.
That's exactly the word that I was going to use before you just slated the word. That's exactly what I was going to say. That's even looking at your face as you're saying that. And it is, I think it's really empowering, and I'm so proud of you for talking about it on Instagram, because you just said on your page, you know, that people don't ever, there's so much secrecy around fertility. And even saying this now, like, I don't want to use the word brave because, you know, well, actually, fuck it, I'll use it. It is brave. It's cool. And I'm really proud of you.
Do you know what? I didn't feel brave until then. I looked at my DMs afterwards and I was like, wow, OK, maybe this is why people don't talk about it, because there's a lot. And I understand that it's an extremely emotive subject, but I think there's just, and I think that's what it comes down to. There is so much emotion involved in it, and it's a very, you know, and infertility especially, it's a really intense and like grueling thing to go through, and IVF, and I understand, you know, I said that on my Instagram, that it feels like there isn't much open conversation about fertility, at least that's how it feels to me in my world, in my bubble, and I think that sort of fosters an environment that's like feels very isolating and alone and almost like shameful. But then I think a lot of people were upset because they said, but I'm going through IVF and like I just don't want to tell people because of, you know, which I totally understand. And I mean, the questions are endless when people do know that you're going through. I know this through friends, like when you are going through IVF, people asking you all the time, like, where are you in the cycle? Like, when does it get implanted? Are you pregnant yet? What's going on month after month? Any news? And it's, I imagine it to be very exhausting and emotional and upsetting. And so I understand why people want to keep it secretive, you know, keep it private. And I don't know why I'm going on this huge like disclaimer.
I think it's really important.
It's so hard to like get everyone to think about everyone, especially when I'm totally new to this and all I'm saying is like I'm freezing my eggs, you know, that's all I'm saying, like. But I guess with anything you do, anything online and any subject that is like this, you do open a can of worms. So I should have known.
That's why I said it's brave, I think, because a lot of people have so much pain surrounding fertility and infertility that a lot of projection gets put on people, whether, you know, and I think so much of it isn't deliberate, but, you know, even people making baby announcements can be triggering to other people. And of course that makes so much sense, but that's nobody's fault. You know, it isn't the person who makes the announcement's fault, and it's not the person who's upset by that's fault. You know, it's just a really unfortunate sort of collision of worlds, and it's something that's really painful for a lot of people. But I think even you know that I imagine that's where quite a lot of the pain comes from, is, you know, everybody's experiences are so personal, you know, and it's so all encompassing that, And I'd imagine it's kind of an open space within the, and I don't know, but I do follow a lot of amazing people who really open up about their IVF journey. But I think the first steps into it, I think it's maybe more commonplace for people to talk about it once they're in it. But for you to talk about it before you go into it is maybe that's what's unusual, because people don't. It's a 12-week thing even, you know, people are, that you're right, like there is, and of course you don't have to speak about it at all, but I think like societally there's so much to be gained for at least giving a space to allowing the conversation. But it's so emotive, and it's really hard until it's a societal norm. It's really hard for those first people but it's really hard to go against the norm, which I guess is what you're doing by opening up about it. So I do think it's brave, and I think it's huge.
Yeah, I don't like really think it is. Like, I think I've seen, like, one of my good friends has opened up about her IVF journey on Instagram, and she's been through a lot of rounds of IVF, and that's brave. And you see the downside of that as well. I mean, she uploaded a COVID test that was positive, and she was like, oh damn it, it got me, and then was like flooded with, oh my god, does this mean you're pregnant, is this, and I was she was like, can you not read, it's clearly a COVID test, like, do we not know at this point what a lateral flow test looks like? So, you know, I feel so, you know, I don't know, I have a lot of empathy without actually and obviously understanding for people going through infertility. It's just, it's really difficult. But I think as well, and you said before, like, knowledge is power, right? And Someone said to me, he was 40 and going through IVF, and she said to me, just the one thing I wish I'd done when I was younger is freeze my eggs. You know, she wasn't in a position to try when she was younger, but she didn't really know about freezing her eggs. It just wasn't really a thing that was talked about. So, and you know, obviously it's an absolute privilege, and not everyone can afford to do it, of course, and it's not going to be like easy. Anyway, I'm going on and on and on, and it's not that big a deal, but yeah, you get my point.
I get your point. I'm proud of you. It is empowering. I think it's really important that women know more about their fertility in general, because it's extraordinary that we just don't know fucking shit about shit. So alone, to know alone what your position is right now is really cool and important. And like, I think, yeah, that it's something really empowering about getting to know your body. So I'm excited for you on this journey, and I love you loads. And I hope that everybody treats you with loads of empathy, because you deserve it.
Thanks.
No worries. Apparently
the 2 weeks when you do it is like, you're just like an absolute bitch. So look forward to that.
Okie dokie. I'll buckle up. I've got a bubble wrap suit that Alex got me for my birthday. Yeah, so I'll just wear that when we have to have like any engagements. All right, cool. Sold. Yeah, fine. Thanks for the heads up.
What's your good?
God, I don't think I have one. I must have one. Oh, my good. Well, it's a bit beyond now, but it was Boo's birthday last week, which have always been bad, because I hate that she's getting older, and she really is getting older now, which is something that if I think too much about, I cry, which is unhealthy. But yeah, I've decided to celebrate the fact that she's the best bitch in town. She's alive. She's thriving. She rolled in the biggest pile of goose shit this morning.
No.
And then had to go under the hose, and then brought in goose shit paws right through my kitchen. So then I had to mop those up for a fair little while. We had a bit of a nightmare. But she's 7. And she's a sensation, and I love her loads. And I've got Alex's birthday on Saturday. This is a good time for the household, because it's Abua's birthday. Then we had Georgie's birthday. Oh, actually, fuck it. You know what? I'm going to do a two in one. It was also Georgie Swallow's 30th birthday. Georgie Swallow has beaten cancer's ass twice. Yeah. And 30 was her first big birthday. It was the first big milestone that she's reached since she's been in remission. And it was really special to watch her be all shit-faced, going down a slip and slide, eating loads of cake, and just having a great day celebrating her life. So
amazing. That's absolutely what she deserves. She's also, for anyone that doesn't follow her, you have to follow her. And also, she's like one of the nicest human beings I think I've ever ever come across.
Isn't she? Isn't she? Like, doesn't get nicer than Georgie.
No, she's so nice.
Yeah, so that was lovely. Just really, like, it's just been a week of real love, you know, like, first boo and then Georgie. Got Al's birthday next week. Mine's coming up. It's just, we're all, it's just good vibes. We're all getting
old.
Lots of
B-days. I like it.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Cool. What have you not done? You got bad for me? Anything terrible? We're all over the place today.
I know, we are all over the place. There's a man coming to my door with a drill.
That's the bad.
That, I've just found my bad.
If we just hear a drilling noise and it's coming through your front door,
will you help?
No, I don't know how. I'll try.
Okay.
Let's see.
Will you help? I don't know. I'm not good in emergencies. I just freeze.
I can imagine that. What was the last emergency that you were in? And how did you handle it?
Do you know what? One that has haunted me for a really long time is one of our cats from back home. I took her to the vets. This is years and years and years ago. I was like 19 or 20 or something. I took her to the vets. And, you know, you have to take cats in a box.
A crate.
The vets. A crate. That's it. A box. Cardboard box. In the crate. And then when I brought her back... I was opening the door and it's like a dodgy little door to open and her paw got stuck and I completely froze and it's like I was just like screaming because like she was screaming but I completely froze and then like basically my mum rushed through and sorted it and that has haunted me ever since because I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like I could have just sorted it out but I don't know, I kind of freeze in those situations, so that is not good.
That's anyway. Interesting.
I know, the poor little cat. She was fine. She was fine.
Yeah,
she was.
Nice.
She's a bit of a diva, dramatic. Anyway,
that's what you tell yourself. I'm really good in a crisis. Yeah.
Imagine that you would be.
I launch into it. Me and Alex together. My mum always says that. Like, you ever see Ray Donovan?
No.
It was a really good show. Anyway, I'm really good in a crisis. It's a surprise. Internally, I'm a mess. Like, internally, everything's on fire. But externally, I'm like, okay, we can handle this. We will handle this. And I just handle it. But on, like I say, inside, like, beams are falling. Children are screaming. Like, everything's burning. It's horrendous. But outside, I'm like, okie dokie. Like, let's go.
That's good.
Like, when one of the dogs goes AWOL, which happens... frequently because they use their little noses and they just run. Honestly, you'd think we were keeping them in like Guantanamo. Like the door opens and they're like, see ya. And it's like, are you joking? Like you live on the sofa, you're fed twice a day, you're given so much love, and yet when the door opens, they're like, bye fuckers. Not all of them, but Bisto's a runner. But he always goes to the neighbor's house. Like, and I was like, what's so good about that? How, Bisto? Like, you came from the streets of Romania. You are loved. You are loved and adored. Like, the labs don't care. They'll come back because they know where their food is. But the Scottish Terrier, he's like, fuck you. I'm out. Like, fuck you people. I am done with this place. Door opens. See ya.
Oh, my God.
But he doesn't run. He just walks away. So you probably could keep up with him if you had a good speed on you as well. But he's like, bye. Like, he wouldn't run away. That would be undignified. He just walks away. Where's he going?
I love that.
Who knows?
He's like, I don't think you even deserve.
No.
Like, I am preserving my dignity by walking away here.
100%. Like, he's not running from anything. This is a choice. And he's going to do it in the way that he wants.
This is deliberate, guys. I am
Bisto's like a rocket. He's like, bye. But he's also the same, to be honest. He doesn't run away from you. But if you try and, like, you know, when he goes to the neighbor's house and you try and get him, he just walks away from you. And it's a really annoying, embarrassing thing. Because it's like, you're kind of walking towards him and he's just walking away. And I'm like, don't do this with me. Like, don't do this with me. Even if it's like in a secure area, you know, and you're just trying to get him to come back in the house. Like, because we've got a secure bit where obviously like he's allowed in or whatever. But you just have to keep walking towards him. And he's like, what? He just keeps walking away. It's like, I did that thing on my Instagram. It's like things that are embarrassing for no reason. And it's like like chasing a dog or like trying to get a dog on the lead who doesn't want to be put on the lead is like, oh my god, so embarrassing because you're like kind of bending, kind of stooping and still walking and it's walking and it's just like, oh god, this is so embarrassing.
oh my God, that has unlocked a little awkward for me very quickly. And that happened last night and I totally forgot about it. So I went to this really swanky party. It was a HarperCollins party and it was very cool and everyone was very posh and like dressed very posh. And I met this literary agent, I think she was, yeah, she was. But like a big cheese, apparently. I don't know much about the publishing world still, so I'm not really sure. But anyway, I held out my hand to shake her hand because they said on the invite, like, don't hug people, like, no hugging. So I held out my hand to shake her hand and she just, I don't know if she just didn't see it or ignored it. I don't know what happened, but I was stood with my hand out for like far too long. And then I was like, it's too awkward for me to pull it away. So I jabbed my hand into hers. Like, I am trying to shake your hand and you will not leave me hanging like this. And she was like, okay. And just like sort of grabbed a couple of my fingers. And I was like, thank you.
Oh my God. There's a video of, I saw it on TikTok, all the time Vladimir Putin's been left hanging for a handshake.
Oh my God.
Send it to you.
So embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. And it happens to him like it's happened to him like 6 or 7 times with like big cheeses, like prime ministers, like Kim Jong-un, like just people just like full on ignoring his hand.
So embarrassing. He deserves it. He deserves 100%, it.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. 100%.
I hope that man is permanently chasing a dog that he can't get on a lead. And he's always chasing a ping pong ball. And he's wearing his shoes on the wrong feet. And he's always
spitting stuff out of his mouth.
Yeah. And no one tells him when he's got stuff between his teeth.
Yeah.
We'll tell him. Look at us. So powerful with our threats. Nice. Sorry, your actual bad.
My actual bad. Well, I suspected that we were going to share our bads this week, I think. And obviously one was Deb's. Like, I didn't know her personally, but I know that you did. And Georgie did as well, really well. And obviously it was really sad. And also Roe v. Wade, I feel like it's like obviously flawed everyone, like completely flawed. And I think what's really... I mean, the whole thing is horrific, absolutely horrific, but it feels like I don't actually know like what anyone can do from here. And we were talking yesterday about like, do we do a podcast episode on it? And it feels like almost like, what's the point? Because we are preaching to the converted. Like, the rift is very big. It feels very big, doesn't it? It feels like there's a huge rift between, and you know, the people that we would... I don't know, that kind of the whole thing just feels a little bit hopeless. And I feel horrendously sorry for anyone, like all women in America right now, because it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I do. And I think as well, like something that came up a lot was the reminder from people when we talked about what was happening in America. Like, a lot of people were DMing me being like, well, you can't really talk about this because you have to acknowledge Northern Ireland and like the fact that we're not, you know, we haven't really got great rights exclusively over here. And that is definitely worth acknowledging. I think two things can be true. And like, we do need the space to be absolutely horrified about the regression of rights. I think something that at least, you know, I know that, and I know this really well, like, because again, same as Northern Ireland, the Isle of Man, where my mum's from, abortion only got legalised in 2019. Yeah. Alex is from Dublin and he was part of the repeal, you know, he was very much there for the repeal of the 8th. So it is something that I'm very aware of. And it has actually been a big part of my sort of psyche. But I guess the difference has been that it's always felt, at least here, like we're moving forwards. And I remember last year it got criminalised in Poland. And that was a real, like, what the fuck? And to have it happen in America, I think the thing that's been so shocking is it's such a pull backwards and a very deliberate pull backwards, like 55 years. And it's not about life. It isn't. Because the thing that's been so gross has been the fact that the fact that states haven't been granted the control over guns, but they have been granted the control over women. And it's like that, the fact that both the rulings were made at the same time. So I know we've got so many problems across the world, but I just think, look, and particularly at home, and for God's sake, fucking Dominic Raab today has just said, or yesterday said, that he didn't want to put abortion rights in the Human Rights Act. Like, you know, we are not safe here. And I think something that we have to do is keep our eyes and ears to the ground, like follow the Women's Equality Party and pay close attention to your MP's view on this, because we do have to support our sisters across the pond, but we also need to keep driving for change in Northern Ireland and really pay attention to what's happening with our MPs here, because I don't trust this fucking government, not as far as I can throw them. And they've just, no. America's just, you know, I mean, I do think the fact that that five unelected people made this decision is an extraordinary fucking thing in the free world. Like, I don't understand how that's democracy. And I do think we stand a better chance here in terms of democracy, but that does rely on us paying attention. And I think something that came up a lot in my DMs when I talked about this was a lot of people on my side, for example, you know, on the sort of pro-choice side, and even people who are pro-life, but understanding that they can be pro-life individually, but they can't inflict their pro-life beliefs on other people, which again is really important. And I really respect people who have that belief, because obviously abortion is a horrible thing and a lot of people aren't going to want to have one. And don't believe that it's the right thing to do, but they also respect that it's a woman's right to choose, which is, you know, that's what this comes down to. Anyway, but I did find a lot of people trying to really kind of like nitpick a lot of what I was saying. And I've seen that quite a lot online with like, oh, well, you know, you said that abortion is always a painful decision and it isn't always an abortion. It isn't always a painful decision. And you said this, but it isn't always quite like this. And actually, I think we need to be quite careful not to get too nitpicky with each other and really recognise what the end goal here is.
Yeah.
And that's fighting for human rights, women's rights. Here,
don't you feel like really despondent with it? Because it's like we are, I do think we are in an echo chamber, and like the stuff we're talking about, we're talking to people who already agree with us, and that is just worrying. And I don't know, I think it is closer to home than we realize. I mean, abortion is the only procedure here that has to be signed off by two doctors, the only one in the UK. That's it,
yeah.
And it's illegal until it's signed off by two doctors, which is crazy, you know? And I mean, I know that often, like, I believe that often it's, you know, the doctors are willing to sign it off, but that's, you know, in the doctor's hands, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think we should do a deeper dive into this, and we are working on it. We're trying to secure someone who's going to be able to, because I think what's important is someone that's going to be able to explain the system to us fully, because there's a lot of confusion around it. So we're working on it, and bear with us, basically.
Yeah, my awkward, it's tiny. Watch out for that episode. We're working really hard. If you've got any ideas for what we can do, although I hope we've got a lead that we're going to be able to sort out this afternoon. Anyway, yes. My awkward, I actually was going to get into this more, and then the news about Debs has just made all of my bads just pale into insignificance. So I'm actually happy not to have gone into it as a bad, but my bad and my awkward were connected. My bad is... we are going to go into this again. I've been trolled quite badly, as it turns out. Like, some people don't like me, which was absolutely gutting. Absolutely gutting. And I found a forum, and I was properly upset. And we will go into that another time. But my awkward stems from that, and that's that a lot of these people seem to think that I do my spelling mistakes on my Instagram stories on purpose to drive engagement and make myself sound relatable. And it's really sad because I don't. I'm just really shit at spelling.
Stupid.
She thinks she's so this and this, and does she do these on purpose so that people reply and tell her that she's whatever? And I was like, no, I just do them because I'm really bad at spelling.
So that people reply and tell you what?
I don't know, drive my engagement up. They think I do it for engagement. And I'm like, oh, please. But there's nothing more annoying to me than a DM going, you spell considered wrong. I'm like, oh,
literally,
God.
He's the worst type of DM. Or being like, literally, I put a picture of an animal and I said it was a goat. Or whatever. I don't even know what it was. People are like, that's not a goat, that's a sheep, that's a lamb, that's a cow, whatever. I don't fucking know. But like, that is literally the most annoying type of DM to get, because you're like, you want to connect with people and stuff. So why would you... Oh, fuck off. Sorry to get all shouty and sweary, but people really irritate me. Do they not have... anything better to do? Jesus!
I know. It just, of all of it, I was just like, oh, fuck. Who do they think I am? I don't know. I was just like, oh, yeah. Anyway, so but that imagine, was just a bit...
imagine seeing someone's stories and then being like, taking the time to go onto a forum and write, I think she does this to drive engagement. Like, how sad. That is so sad.
I know. But it did make me laugh. Like, just that one. The others made me cry a lot, but that one made me laugh. I was like, oh no, they think I'm clever and I'm actually just really fucking shit at spelling. I don't have that kind of business mind.
And we are going to go into this further, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I want to talk about the effect. I mean, I do believe that these people will kill someone if they're left unchecked. But I think it's really important that we talk about the way that it... I'm really happy to talk about the way that I feel. And I think... And we're going to do an episode about learning how to cope when people aren't nice to you, and learning how to really believe that other people's opinions of you don't matter. And I'm still on that path. Like, I'm getting closer to the full belief, and sometimes it can, you know, sometimes it's not as easy as other, some days it's not as easy as it is other days. And I think this week I've just felt vulnerable and tired, and it just hit me harder than other days. But I would like to share part of the journey and the thought process, and like how we get to not let other people's words about us affect us so badly. So we are going to do an episode on that. And if you've got any questions about that, actually send them in, and any specific ones about kind of learning to be okay with other people not liking you, for example, like hit us up, send them into Instagram or email or whatever. And we can bring that into the episode as well. So it's not just me.
But yeah, we will get into that. But fuckers. Yeah. And I hope you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm absolutely devastated, and this will take probably years to recover from, but I'm absolutely fine. No, I am fine. Anyway, we've got a great interview today with somebody that I'm so happy we got to have this chat. Wasn't it just like, it's just gas. Fuck it. We interviewed Gemma Stiles, who is a friend of both of ours, and we talked about mental health and well, it felt like a hug. The whole episode just felt like a hug. It was just fun and lovely. And I think Gemma's really great, and I hope you all enjoy it. She's also on board for the fridge magnets. So, woohoo! Love Gem. She can come back anytime.
No, it was a brilliant episode. And she sent me a meme this morning, actually, that said, this is so relevant to what we talked about in the podcast. I'm just going to read out to you quickly. It says, I don't care if I'm cringe, I'm just a mirror of your internalized shame. How spot on is that? Oh my God,
why didn't she send that to me on Thursday, Monday, whenever it was, when I was crying in bed? Right? Because all those people hate me. Oh my God.
It's not cringe, it's a mirror of your internalized shame. And I feel like that is a brilliant way to kick off this episode.
Fucking A. Enjoy it, guys. Yeah. We will see you on Thursday for an Is It Just Me?
My absolute favourite thing was just like watching round the crowd and all like, did you see where they were all doing like big like circles and the like giant literal like conga lines round the entire floor of the stadium, and I was just like, this looks so fun.
I loved the lights, which I initially thought were lighters, and then was like, no, it's just a phone torch. But like when you looked across this sea of like torches, and it was so beautiful.
Yeah, that always makes me really emotional.
It is emotional, isn't it? I don't know, something about lights. Just
Coldplay did that, and they gave us all like a band, like a wristband or something.
Oh, I saw that actually on something. I think I can't remember. Was that the same tour where they did like a really sustainable tour or something? Yeah. And everyone was like talking about all the different like things that they did.
It was really good. Cool. Is that Wembley?
It looked good.
It's a few years ago. Yeah. It was really good.
When they sang "Lights Will Guide You," is that when they did it? Lights Will Guide You Home.
Yeah, and then they had it for Up and Up, maybe one of the other. Okay. You know.
Tearjerkers.
No, just inspiration. I love Coldplay. I fucking love Coldplay.
I love Coldplay, and I know it's not cool to love them,
I love Coldplay. Yeah. I really fancy Chris Martin.
Yeah.
Thank you for not leaving me hanging.
It took me a second. I was like, I think they get a bad rep.
Oh my God, okay. So yeah, to start it, I really fancy Chris Martin, the record show. He did a modern fact. Oh, never mind.
He did, I saw that. Yeah, yeah, that was really good. Anyway.
Hi, Gemma.
Hello.
Hello.
Emika, do you fancy Chris Martin?
Can't say I've ever thought of him in that way, but you know.
Waste.
each to their own.
Start.
I remember seeing them do a gig, and I don't know what it was. I never know if it's a concert or gig. I noticed like last night you kept being like the gig, and I was like, do you mean the concert? Like, I don't know which one to use.
I'm not cool enough to say gig, like at all.
Is that like a cooler thing to say?
I think so.
Okay.
Does that mean that?
Are you just cool?
Maybe you're just a bit cool.
It just comes naturally to me.
Congrats.
Thanks so much.
But anyway, when they did it, Coldplay probably do concerts rather than gigs, don't they? I feel.
No.
Anyway, he was doing a gig concert and like working so hard that his t-shirt was just full of sweat. And I was like, I like that. I do like that. You're really trying and I like it.
He's putting his all into it.
He was putting his all into it.
Alex loves a trier.
Yeah, and kudos for that.
God loves
anyway,
a trier.
That was a random way to open the episode. But
it wasn't entirely random because we all went to a gig last night, the
concert.
Same gig. And Gemma's got a hoarse voice because you've been to loads of gigs, concerts.
I did, yeah. Me, who never goes anywhere with a crowd or anywhere cool, definitely not cool enough for gigs. Yeah, four Harry Styles shows and one... it's so weird when I full name him. He'll be like... yeah, four shows in a week, which is...
That's
great.
A lot.
Loved
That's
it.
Dedication.
I'm glad you guys were there last night as well. I feel like
it was so good. We had a blast, didn't we?
We did.
I mean, the alcohol was helping.
Yeah, but you're also not supposed to call it a blast.
Oh my God.
I had such a
You're
blast with the
feel
concert last night.
I feel got so old and uncool.
I had
I'm
a great
sorry.
Time at the gig.
Oh, the gig was sick. like, wow, mate, loved it, sick. I don't know, what do you want from me? I'm not cool, okay?
No, it was amazing. And we didn't see you, but we're getting like a real Styles fix because it's been 24 hours getting it all in.
It's funny when I texted you before and I was like, you're going to be there? And you said, yeah. And then I was like, oh, it's actually... a very big place. We probably won't
yeah,
see
you're
you.
Like, I'll try and wave like from somewhere. My eyes aren't good enough to wave across that many people.
Anyway,
no, I'm feeling smug today though because I wasn't drinking last night, and everyone else who was there last night is like, "Oh my God, I'm so done." And I'm like, "Nope, I'm done. Done for the week."
Good for you.
Oh, yeah. Good
yeah,
for you.
I didn't drink yesterday either. I know I saw your owl stories this morning, and they were like, "I'm really hungover." I was like, "Ha ha."
I didn't realize. I'm saying it. I didn't realize I was drunk until we got into the taxi, and I was sitting backwards, and I was like, "Oh my God." Everything is spinning and I think I'm going to be sick. And I just couldn't talk. I was like, keep it in.
We were in with strangers as well. And she was staring at her phone trying to get her like Burger King chips. And she just kept being like, I think I'm going to be sick. And everybody's faces in the camera was like, please don't be sick. Like, who's this random person sitting
Hello,
in the middle?
Hello, stranger. Please don't be sick
yeah,
in my lap.
Threatening vomit.
But you know when you're ill like that and you're like, you've had too much alcohol and you're like, the only thing, I just need food to soak it up. So I was like, Burger King chips, anything, I'll have anything. I ended up getting vegan nuggets from Burger King and they were so good.
Awesome.
So good.
This has been a terrible
anyway,
interview
oh
so far.
God,
I think we've lost
single
thing.
Absolutely fine. I love chips and stories.
Chips
so
and gigs.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, chips and gigs.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank good. You. And thank you for coming. We've wanted you for ages and now we've got you, so we're very happy.
So fun. I love doing a good podcast swap as well. It makes me feel like a real
Ooh,
podcaster.
Yeah. I think this is our first podcast swap.
It is.
Yeah, I don't get invited in many places, so.
Oh, well.
I can't imagine why, but I'm really excited.
I'm excited too, yeah. I think it'll be fun.
So this is a two-part episode because there's this side on ours and then Al and I will be appearing on Gemma's podcast, The Good Influence.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. I want to ask about your podcast.
Sure.
Because it's such a lovely thing. Like, The Good Influence. Like, you just... Is it just as simple as that? Like, you just want... What was the reasoning behind starting that the podcast and the messaging that it brings? Because it is lovely.
I mean, I think the name probably came around as kind of like a play on the fact that, like, that's essentially what I do now, I guess, in terms of like the influencer thing.
Yeah.
So you know when it's kind of, it's one of those things, some people like the word influencer and some people don't.
Uh-huh.
But when you kind of get called it a lot, and I feel like I was having the conversation of like, you know, on social media people obviously talk about a lot of different things, and like you guys will know this full well, you talk about things that have like a decent amount of substance and like you actually get more like diving into conversations. But I don't feel like social media is necessarily always the best platform for that.
Mm.
And yeah, it kind of just came around as a riff on the whole thing of like, well, if I'm gonna be an influencer, I want to be like doing something good with it. And then all the guests that are coming on are people who I think are like a good influence. And all, you know, I love a pun more than anything else, so really that's where the podcast came from.
No, I like it because I feel like influencers are so vilified and the term itself is so vilified, but actually there can be a lot of good. And yeah, you have to take everything with a pinch of salt and make sure everything, you know, everything you're consuming is balanced and varied and whatnot. But there is a lot of good that can be, that can come from being an influencer. So yeah, I like that. I really like that.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry. I feel like, well, I'm putting words in your mouth, but did you ever want to be an influencer, or is that something that you've sort of fallen into and done something brilliant with?
No, I mean, it was very much an accident. I mean, this is the kind of thing where, like, I feel like on occasion, if people are like trying to be mean to me on the internet, they say things that they think are like devastating that they've come up with. Like, you wouldn't even have followers if it wasn't for your brother. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Like, do you think I'm not aware of that? But like, it's one of those things where it just kind of happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. To me, I'm like, if I ended up with that platform, if you like, I just think it would have felt like a real waste to do absolutely nothing with it.
Yeah.
And you've got two choices, right? You're given this platform and then you have two choices. Like, you do nothing with it or you do something with it. So, like, it's really cool.
I mean, I still, I'm like, I don't feel like I know what I'm doing half the time. I'm probably not. And this is the thing. I know that people who are like big influencers as a career now, like, there's so much work that goes into like people building audiences and stuff, and there's some real like authentic like helpful, like, great people on the internet who are doing that work and have done loads of work to build themselves up to that level. So I always feel like a bit like I kind of snuck in, and I'm like, oh well, I kind of ended up with the beginning of it completely by accident. Like, it wasn't really through anything that I'd done. But yeah, I don't know, I think it's just like trying to make the most of it and do some good with it, you know?
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into mental health, because you have been really open and transparent about your mental health online, and you've talked about it openly. But I want to know what that did to your mental health, to find yourself suddenly thrust into the spotlight, and not in a small way, in quite a big way as well. And then from going from like hardly any eyes on you to suddenly so many eyes on you. And now you've got, sorry, I know you'll hate talking about this, but you've got like millions of followers now on Instagram. Like, that is a lot of people. Did that affect your mental health? It must have done.
Yeah, I think it must have done at times. Like, I don't think that there's a way it couldn't have, you know. But it's quite like, looking back on it now, because it's been so long, but also it was very like, that was the time when social media was literally just beginning.
Yeah.
So like, what must have been like 2010 or 11, I think, around there, which is when like, I think Twitter started, and then Instagram was like maybe a year or two later. So it's all been really gradual. It doesn't feel like such a like overnight kind of thing. I've kind of got a bit more used to it now.
Yeah.
But when I think back to it, I think because social media was so new anyway, people knew what they were doing less at the time. Like, it wasn't like social media was, it wasn't a job like it is now. Like, people didn't have social media jobs. Like, I think maybe like the YouTube set was up and running and all the rest of it. But yeah, I think it probably like took me longer to realize how much stuff like that affects you. But also, like, just as me in general, and like predating social media or anything, like, I'm quite a like self-conscious person. Like, I'm not super confident with things. So then trying to get to grips with like putting yourself on the internet and knowing that there are people listening to what you have to say, which is an enormous privilege in and of itself, which is kind of, you know, what I was alluding to before of why have a platform and do nothing with it. But yeah, getting used to the fact that people would like give a shit if I said something was like quite strange.
To have like fame that it isn't your choice necessarily. Like, it's something that I've, to a much lesser extent, had. And I think my relationship with it was kind of weird, because I don't think anyone's relationship with it is normal. But it's what you said before about, you know, what you said about having the choice of doing something with it. And it's a really hard choice sometimes because it's like you're still trying to grow and live your life and work out who you are as an individual, but then you've just got all these people and they just keep coming in and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And they only see a little bit of the picture, but they think they know the whole picture. And it's really odd because if you go out and you seek it, like you say, the, you know, YouTubers or Instagrammers or whatever who go out and actively work for it, it's not such a surprise when it comes. But people who come through other avenues, it is a bit of a surprise, right? Like that's the kind of like, not discomfort necessarily, but it's like, ooh, hi, I don't know how to feel about this all the time. And I haven't always felt comfortable with people arriving into my space. I'm just like, I don't know why you're here. Because I know, you know, with the Instagram stuff that I do, when people who listen to the podcast, I know why they're listening to the podcast, but some people who just look at stuff, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, you are, I get it.
Yeah, but yeah, because, and I always think, well, what do you want from me? But then also, you can't ask that of every single person that arrives in your life because you'd never get anything done for asking the question. But
And you know, like, there's, rolling around the internet, there's always, like, certain people who you know, like, will, like, hate follow you because they just want to watch you and be like, ugh, really don't like her.
Do people do that to you?
I don't know. I mean, there's always like, there's the people who actually like show up in your inbox and are kind of like, hi, I hate you. I think you're terrible. But people then there's also like, yeah, they do that.
But you're not terrible.
Well, you know, thanks.
But, screw you guys.
That's the thing. I mean, this is the thing I've heard people say before. It's like on the internet, the worst things people say about you and the best things people say about you, like you just have to kind of ignore them both. Because some people will be like, oh my God, you're amazing. And I'm like, well, I haven't really done anything to deserve that. And some people will be like, you are vile and you should be ashamed of yourself. And I'm like, why? What did I do?
Where does that come from though? I just don't understand. But also you should take the good stuff because you are doing good stuff and you do deserve that.
I mean, yeah, I'd much prefer to, like, if I'm going to take on one or the other, I try and, like, absorb the good rather than the bad just for my own sanity.
Also, if you're going to take the bad, you definitely have to take the good as well.
Yeah.
That's something I've learned because I, like, cherry pick the bad.
Yeah.
Like, if there's, like, 99 comments being like, you're great, and there's one being like, I hate you, I'm like, oh my God, they hate me.
That is a thing I'm, like, really having to, like, learn and work on. And I've seen, like, other people on Instagram talking about this, and I'm trying to, like, absorb the message of it, that, like, some people are just gonna decide that they don't like you, and it's actually kind of nothing really to do with you, because from what they see on social media, they, like, decide who you are and build a picture of you in their head that's like, oh, well, obviously she thinks this, and clearly that's what she's doing, and all the rest of it. And all of it's completely untrue. They've just made it up in their heads. Like, they don't actually know who you are.
Mm.
And if they decide to hate you based on that picture they've created for themselves, like, there's actually nothing I can do about that. And so I'm trying to just let it go.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in that, because I always used to want to fight people. If people make assumptions about me based on, like, my dad predominantly, because I now feel very straight in who I am and what I do on social media. I'm very like, okay, this is what I do, this is the work that I'm making and creating. But before, when I had less of an idea of what I was doing, when people would make assumptions about me, I would feel so compelled to go and, like, physically fight them. And they're like, oh, and you know, like you said before, like, the most devastating thing someone can say to an influencer is like, you don't deserve it, you only have it, you're living off someone else's money. And I'd be like, oh, you know, oh God, let me tell you. And I'd be as good as printing off my bank statement, like, let me show you. And I was like, this is such a waste of my energy to, like, bicker with people that I don't know. So there is a lot of power in letting people be wrong about you.
Sometimes. I think that is something that comes a bit more with age, though. And I guess, like, for you, it's, like, a lifelong thing as well, even rather than, I don't know.
But, I mean, you've had, like, 12, where are we, 12? Yeah, 12 years. Yeah. So that's as good as, really.
This is true. It has been a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it definitely, I'm not very good when people are angry at me or don't like me, which, I mean, who is, I suppose. But, like,
you're speaking to the choir. We're like, it's the same. Bad podcast review. We're like, oh, Christ.
Which, funnily enough, is apparently, well, I know this is the crowd to speak to, but it's an ADHD thing, apparently. It's like a rejection sensitive something or other. Huh, and I read about that and I was like, oh, okay. That's why, like, my brain gets so upset by this stuff. Like, I feel like I'm a horrible person. I've done something really badly wrong. And it, like, takes me, I really have to kind of talk myself down to be like, let's logic this out, because you didn't say that, or you didn't do that, or
it feels like rough. A very visceral, like, physical feeling, doesn't it, when someone Because actually, in this conversation, the three of us sitting here, we all have ADHD, so that's funny.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I bet maybe okay. I shouldn't have said that. I'm like, when we've been for dinner before, sitting around talking about that. I was like, oh, sorry.
I didn't mind saying it in this. I haven't been officially diagnosed by a doctor. It's been suggested twice by therapists, and it is not an unlikely assumption.
I would say.
Based on my personality. But I've been making my peace with that over the last few months, and we've talked about that. Mm. And well, we three have talked about it. We went out for dinner. So I don't mind being outed. Literally every time I do anything on social media, everyone's like, your ADHD is showing. I'm like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I know.
I have to walk myself every morning before work like a Labrador. I can't come in and record with Al. She won't talk to me because I just sit and I'm always like touching the wall, like fidgeting. And the worst, the microphones have to be like right in front of my face, otherwise you can't hear me. Anyway, yeah, I've forgotten what we're going with. Oh, the visceral reaction.
Oh yeah, the rejection. Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? It's really horrible. Yeah. And and especially on social media, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like heightened in a way, because you pour your heart out online, and a lot of like what we put so much into it, and then it feels like that quote that says like, it feels like someone coming into your house and saying to you like, and that's what it feels like. It feels like someone's walking down the street and saying to you like, you know, just shouting.
I mean, because half the time when you read it, you're in your house, so to you it's happening to you in your own home, like in a safe that's supposed to be like safe.
I'm very surprised that you get unlike comments troll comments. Like I'm really surprised that you get, because I imagine the people that would follow you would love Harry so that they would come to you and love you too. So
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not the majority or anything, but it does happen from time to time. Like, and it's usually, it's one of those things, I have such a thing about the internet, like it's usually if something's happening and they don't like something that you've said about it or not said about it, or I don't know.
With like world events, like current affairs stuff, and if you're not talking about them,
Or like really anything, it's quite wild. I find like sometimes I read a message and it actually doesn't upset me. I'm just like, wow, you should be a hurdler, because that leap was I could not have made that
gold standard. I would think that you're gonna hurt yourself stretching this far.
It's quite amazing the leap that some people will take, but it's, and I guess like it's bound to happen. Like, you've got that many people on there, it's going to happen. So
that's the thing. And I think even if you know it's like a minority of people, or I don't know, I mean, I don't like upsetting anyone. Like, I never do that intentionally, but that it does feel like it's a lot more dramatic than maybe it is sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, so before I did any of this online stuff, my last like job where I didn't work for myself was I worked for a charity that was a cyberbullying charity. So I used to deal with this stuff like every day anyway, and kind of have people getting in touch with the charity who were like being trolled or bullied online and all the rest of it. So kind of even coming at it from that sort of background, it just takes such an emotional toll on people. Because even if that isn't what's happening, it feels like it's everyone who's looking at you and thinking that. And if there's a mean comment on something, if it's like a public comment on an Instagram post or something, you look at it, and because in theory anyone could come to that page and look at that comment, it feels like the entire world has seen it. Even if they absolutely haven't. But it's like, it's like someone, it's like being on a massive stage in front of people, terrifying anyway, and then having someone walk up to you with a microphone and insult you to your face with a load of people watching.
That's
what it feels like, and it's just like, obviously that's horrendous.
It's kind of embarrassing when I get trolled. I'm like, oh god, how embarrassing.
I get sheepish in front of like my friends, and it's stupid, like no one cares about me like enough to, do you know what I mean, like they don't even know, whatever, but I feel like I get really sheepish around my friends, then I'm like embarrassed.
Yeah,
but like they'll have seen that stuff, and it is embarrassing. It does feel embarrassing because you're It's like,
because it feels like no one slags off the cool girl. Like, people are only mean about like the losers. That's how, like, that's how we grew up, right?
It's like, so it's, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, cool, still a right. loser. Yeah. Loser in school, loser now.
Loser in life. I'm going to a concert later and we're gonna have a blast.
Piss off. Okay. Oh my god.
This is all said with love.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like for me.
You know, she's on the stage right now and we've just shown up with our microphones just to say mean things to her.
Whatever.
It is said with love.
So, would love to talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. What made you decide? I mean, yeah. What made you decide to talk about it publicly? Because, like we said, there are a lot of people, and that's quite a vulnerable thing to do, especially in a world where there is still. And when you, I don't know when you first started talking about it.
I'm trying to think when. Yeah, when I first would have properly spoken about it. I mean, but several years ago. But I think, to be honest, it was probably more when, slightly after the fact, when things had got kind of to their worst for me.
Okay.
And I feel like I sort of just got to the point where you're obviously speaking to people and putting things out on the internet, and I just felt too much like I was lying.
Mm.
And kind of having to pretend to be someone, even if I wasn't, because it wasn't that then I'd be, you know, putting posts out being like, I'm the happiest person in the world, etc., etc. Mm. Not like I would have been pushing like a really false narrative, if you like. But I don't know, I just felt like there's definitely been times when it's such an enormous part of my life that it just felt really disingenuous not to mention it.
Mm. Okay.
And again, like we were saying before, kind of do some kind of good with the lot that you get in life.
Mm.
It's so isolating when you're struggling with your mental health and you feel like you're the only one.
Yeah.
And I was like, if that is something that I can give someone, like even from a selfish point of view as well, like being able to do like kind, positive, like helpful things is actually really good for your own mental health. Like being nice to other people will make you a happier person. This is what trolls need to understand. So yeah, I think it felt quite natural at the time. I didn't feel like, I think I waited, I don't know, however long. I didn't feel like I'd forced myself into it, but I got to a point where I was like, I don't feel like people are gonna know who I am.
Mm.
Like one of the things I always take as like the biggest compliment is if I meet someone in real life who like we've followed each other on Instagram for ages and they're like, oh, you're exactly how I thought you would be. Like I always take that as a really big compliment because I'm like, good, because I don't want to be kind of portraying myself as someone that I'm not.
Mm.
And yeah, that was a big part of it, I think.
Yeah.
I think if I had existed online for much longer and not talked about the fact that I had like crippling depression and anxiety, I just would have felt like a massive liar.
Mm.
Have you always suffered with depression and anxiety, or is it something that has happened in recent years? Or
so I think with hindsight, I've always been quite an anxious person, but kind of in the way it wasn't particularly getting in the way of my life or like that harmful until I think it was like exam seasons at school, kind of like GCSE, A-level especially.
Right.
But now I look back at it and I'm like, okay, so those were the things you were doing to try and kind of like self-soothe your anxiety sort of thing. So, I mean, anyone who knows me whatsoever will know that I am not an exercise person. I've tried to get into it. I have in little dribs and drabs. Like, I know it's really good for you. I need to start moving myself again at some point because it's good for your brain too. But when I was doing my A-levels, I'd got to a point where I would end up going to the gym at like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night so that I could get some sort of anxious energy out and like tire myself out so that I would sleep. Because otherwise I was just so anxious, I couldn't sleep. And now I look back at that at the time and I'm like, how did you not kind of see that's what you were doing? But I mean, I was young and also just didn't know anything. So yeah, I don't know. I think looking back, it was always there. But the depression that had come in more kind of like through my early 20s.
Mm.
And it did, I think it had started. I mean, it definitely started when I was at uni. I'd been doing the first course I did at uni, I left after a year and a half, and basically dropped out of that course because I was really depressed, which at the time, I think I kind of thought that it was because I wasn't happy on the course that I was doing. But actually now, having been through like a decade of like cycling depressive episodes and ups and downs and all the rest of it, I actually don't know. I don't know whether I would have maybe stayed and finished that first course that I was doing had I not been really depressed and was just kind of like trying to find a way to fix it, you know? Because I think that's one of the things that people still don't really understand about depression all the time. And again, if you've never experienced it, you think it's, I mean, there is such a thing as like situational depression, as in things are happening in your life that are making you sad and you get depressed. That is a thing, but that's not the only way that depression kind of manifests itself. So I think when I was younger and would get depressed, I was still kind of like trying to look at things in my life and like change them and try and fix them. And I just couldn't really understand what was happening to me. And now that I've got a lot more experience of it and I'm older and I've, you know, the benefit of hindsight, I don't actually know that it was the situation at all.
Right.
It's really like quite impossible to say now, I think.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And it's, I hate the word empowering, because I know I don't hate it, but I just feel like it's overused. But it is empowering to get a diagnosis and to get some perspective on it, isn't it? And to be able to put it down to something. Because, yeah, if you're like, I'm changing this, I'm changing that, and I'm still really depressed, like I still can't get out of bed, or I'm still like, just feel like I can't function.
Yeah.
But that, just having that, I guess, that the knowledge is so empowering and kind of just gives you back. And also I imagine, like, well, at least for me, but I'm imagining for you as well, like gives you some sort of kind of peace as well. Like there isn't like something wrong with me, you know, it's a thing, it's an actual thing, and it's, I'm not alone in this either.
Yeah, it's weirdly, it's almost kind of the opposite, in that you want to be like, oh, there's not something wrong with me, but actually it was more empowering for me to kind of realize there is something wrong with me.
Yeah,
because otherwise I think it's, well, I certainly did for such a long time, to get into the whole thing of like, why is everyone else able to cope with this well, life, and I'm not able to do it?
Yeah,
like there's nothing wrong with me, I'm looking around and like I should be fine. And that more makes you feel like you're doing something wrong, or you're like ungrateful for your life, or
yeah,
you just don't know why you're reacting in certain ways.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, being like, no, you have a mental health condition.
Right.
Like there actually is something wrong with you, and that's why you feel that way.
Yeah.
I oddly found that quite a lot more comforting, rather than it being like, no, there's nothing wrong, you're on a level playing field with everyone else, it's just they're happy and you're not.
Definitely. Yeah. No, yeah, sorry, that's what... I'm thinking about it with ADHD as well, because, like, for so long... I don't know why I'm making this about me, sorry. But for so long, I was like, I'm lazy. I just can't function like normal people.
Yeah.
I can't take on things like normal people can. Like, I want to lay in bed, and it's just because I'm lazy. Like, it's sometimes when I can't get out of bed, like, it feels like any depression would be managed. So, like, I just can't get out of bed, so I'm lazy. And, like, having... like knowing what it was then, you know, the ADHD was like huge for me, like absolutely huge, just to take away the pressure on myself. Did you feel like that as well?
Yeah, I did. I think it kind of just made things make sense a lot more. And even so, something that I've really struggled with, and I mean, this is why, so I work with an ambassador for a charity called MQ Mental Health Research. And the reason why I'm so passionate about research into mental health is because one of the most frustrating things that I've found over God knows how many years is I don't understand why. Like, why does my brain do this to me? Why is this how I feel? Even though I know that, you know, it's just, it's something I've experienced, it's part of who I am, if you like. Some people don't like to think of it that way, but I don't mind that. Not having the why and the reasoning I always find really frustrating.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, getting an ADHD diagnosis for me, part of that has almost made me feel slightly less frustrated with my history of depression and anxiety, because it's such a common comorbid condition.
Yeah.
Because the kind of years of, like you say, having an undiagnosed kind of neurodiverse condition and not just thinking you're like a rubbish person because you're not functioning in the same way that you think other people are and you think you should be, makes you feel really bad about yourself. And that 100% then leads into like the low self-esteem and like can fuel depression and all the rest of it. So yeah, I think it's been helpful. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot to come to terms with. Like, I mean, yeah, sorry that I've then accidentally half-hearted you as well on your own podcast.
No, but
it's just a lot to deal with, which is why then when you meet other people who are like, hello, I'm also a late diagnosis woman with ADHD, you're like, oh my God, tell me everything.
Yeah.
Have you felt like shit your whole life? Okay, me too.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm making a lot of peace with myself now, though. Like, I just, all the things that, like, we laugh at me for, like, not paying my fucking anything in time. Like, I just get so many bills and I never pay them in time. And I don't know why. I could do it. And I just don't do it. And I hate myself for it. And I've said this so many times over the last, and it's only been the last, like, year since my surgery when I haven't been able to exercise. I realise has been a massive coping thing for me. Like, the marathons, the ultra, like, all of that was, like, it really kept me, like, a good use of my energy, and I just felt like pretty consistently chill. And it's only been since my surgery and I haven't really been able to exercise like I could before, that I just get so angry with myself. And I hate how angry I get with myself, because I'm like, and it's a rational anger. It's not like, it's like a full temper tantrum with myself for just being a shit human. And it's so annoying. Yeah. Like, I can't get to the jumpers under my bed because there's too many jumpers in there. And every day I'm like, I'm going to do something about that. And it's been a year and I've not done it. And about once a month, I'm like, I hate myself. And it's just horrendous. And I've been trying to explain to my Alex why it means so much that I know what's up now. But I'm like, it means I don't hate myself as much, because I'm like, at least it's not totally my fault.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's nice.
Like, your brain is wired differently.
Yeah.
But it's so cool to know that.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, where's the good bit? Because, you know, like, there's a flip side to every coin. And I'm like, my jumpers are a mess, but at least my t-shirts are nice. But it's not like that. It's all just messy. And that's annoying.
But I think the good bit is, like, I guess creativity is quite common in people with ADHD, right? Which I think is why a lot of people, influencers have had like late diagnoses as well. But do you find, like, I mentioned it online like a couple times, but I've stopped because of this whole like, oh, you just jumped on the bandwagon thing. Has that been a thing for you? Have you felt that?
Well, so I actually hadn't mentioned it online at all yet.
Yeah.
And then, so I'd happened to episode of my podcast that came up this morning, I like mention it briefly in the episode, and that's like the first like public iteration of like me talking about, yeah,
love
exactly, soft launching my ADHD. But yeah, no, I 100% like, that is a thing about social media that then is really worrying. And like, even when I've like spoken to the psychiatrist like about ADD, I'm like, I feel like somehow I'm lying and I've tricked you, and I actually am just really lazy and terrible. And he's like, please stop. He was like, this is really common. But I think the social media thing fuels into that as well, because people like to be like, oh, okay, fine, you're just what are you doing this for? Like,
I think that's why I've never mentioned it. I haven't even mentioned it to my parents. I haven't talked about it with anyone apart from Alex and you.
Yeah.
Probably. Well, I mean, and all the Instagram followers that DM me about 20 times a day saying, haha, your ADHD's showing. But yeah, I never bring it up. My sister won't play Boggle with me or do anything with me, because she's just like, you're a fucking nightmare. So she's been saying it forever. But I like, it's that weird thing where I'm just like, I probably don't, I'll just leave it. So I haven't pursued it. That's why I've not pursued it. And that's why I've never talked about it on the internet. Because I'm just like, meh.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it. It's no biggie.
Yeah, it's just like, a bit scary.
But like, it is, isn't it? And it's like, I said the same thing to my psychiatrist. I was like, I feel like I'm a fraud. I really do. Like, I really do. And he was like, well, then what does that make me? Because I've diagnosed you. Like, what does that make me? And I was like, yeah, fair point. But I was actually talking to Dave about this, and I was like, I just don't want to mention it to anyone because I don't want people to think I'm like jumping on the wagon, whatever. And he's like, why do you care? He was like, this has been one of the this has been one of the biggest revelations in your life, and this has been one of the things that's helped you mentally more than anything else, and it's really changed your life. So why the hell do you care? Like, jump on the wagon, be on the wagon. The wagon's great.
The wagon.
And I was like, yeah, you're so right.
I've been saying this for ages. The wagon's the best place to be. Like, why? Like, where did we say this? I mean, we talked about this last night actually at the concert, because you're quite your music taste is quite alternative, and I was like, I just can't be fucked to be alternative anymore because it's just too much effort. You have to like work out what everybody likes, and then you have to find out what it is that people do, like that other people like. It's so much easier to just like the music in the charts and just wear what other people are wearing because it's available in the shops, and just the bandwagon. Like, it's just so much easier to just follow the trends, be a little sheep, just hop on. I'm like, it's like the 1950s and I'm just jumping on the back of the bus every single time. I'm like, yeah, fine, I'm coming,
take me with you.
Yeah, literally any trend. I'm such a sucker for them. I'm lazy. There you go. I'll just go with the easiest option available, and that's like Hot Hits UK. Sold.
But it does annoy me, that narrative of the bandwagon with the ADHD thing, because I'm like, there are probably so many women out there who desperately need the diagnosis, like desperately need it, and are a bit like, oh, well, it seems everyone has it now, so like maybe, you know, I'm just relating to these TikToks, but I'm not really. And it's like, it's, yeah.
That's the thing. There's something so embarrassing about being like, oh, I got served loads of like Instagram Reels content about adult women with ADHD, and I started thinking, maybe I have that. And then actually, but I mean, I'd like sat on that for probably like a solid year before I even then made a GP appointment. You know, when you're like doing a sneaky Google about something and literally checking every box, and you're like, no, because I saw it on the internet, so that can't be true. Like, how ridiculous would that be if I accidentally diagnosed myself with a mental something through like a TikTok content that someone's repurposed for Instagram? I'm like, what a weird story to tell. But then I finally like psyched myself up and made a GP appointment, and literally I said it to my boyfriend. I was like, I just want to do that because then they'll tell me that I'm being ridiculous and I can let go of the thought of it then and not keep wondering. And actually the GP that I spoke to was like, okay, I'm gonna refer you. And I was like, Oh my god!
What? Maybe this
that TikTok Instagram reel was right.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, "Are you serious?"
Yeah. See, I haven't got to that stage yet. I had one therapist tell me, like, in 2018, she's like, "Have you ever been diagnosed with ADHD? Because you show a lot of the symptoms." And I was like, "Traits, whatever." And I was like, "You're a terrible therapist. Goodbye." And I never went back to her. And I got home to my mum, and I was like, "She said I've got ADHD. She's really not the one for me. I don't think she understands me at all." And then it was only like 3 years later, and someone else had said it. I was like,
but what's interesting is I think yours presents in like a more typical way, like it more in the like the typical,
I'm
like
quite surprised by that, like
in the more like boys, little boys running around like can't sit still kind of
but
way.
I also feel like I've grown into this. Is what's really weird, and I probably should go and explore this, but I feel like I like this part of me is like coming out a lot more as I've got older. Really? My brother and sister said I reminded them of Leslie from Parks and Rec the other day, and I was like, for fuck's sake, Gemma does. And sad little sympathetic laugh, like,
love that.
I love Leslie also,
and everyone loves her.
I know, but she's also, you know, she's a lot. And I was like, why do I remind you that? And they were just like, I don't know, it's very chaotic. And I was like, oh. Yeah. Maybe everyone could see this in me, apart from me.
I think it's just a lot of energy.
It's a lot of energy, yeah.
Which I'm always just jealous of more than anything else. Yeah. I don't have so that jealous. Side of it.
Yeah.
No, I've just got the, like, I'm a lazy shit human being side of it. I wish I had the, like, let's go for a run.
But I have that, and I'm still a lazy shit with all the stuff that matters. Like, I can't tell you how many things I have to do. I can't. It actually upsets me so much when I look at my lists and my bills and all the post is red. I'm just like, oh god.
So this, I always find this interesting because this has been one of like the biggest revelations for me about like why I am the way I am. Do you have the thing where like if you've got one thing in your calendar for the day, so like today, like coming to meet you 2 p.m. setting the scene for me, then the whole day is gone.
That's the whole day. Yeah.
Because like the whole morning is like, okay, I've got this thing to do at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then I've built it up so much that like when this is done, I'm going to be like, wow, the day's over now. And like one thing in the calendar like occupies my brain for the entirety of that day. And I physically don't understand how people are like, well, I'm going to do this in the morning. And then, you know, like, I've got obviously work. and then I'm going to go out afterwards and do this, and then I'm going to go to the gym, and then I'm going to do this and do that. And I'm like, that's so many things in one day. Like, how do you do that many things?
Yeah.
I think you kind of get in the swing of doing busy things.
I feel like I used to be like that. And just, physically couldn't cope. And also, like, if I had something on my mind, I couldn't think about anything else. Like, actually physically couldn't cope. Like, I remember when I broke up with my boyfriend, and like other people like want to go to work as a distraction, and I was like, I can't think about or do anything else. Like, I'm very like one track mind in that way. But I feel like with the busy thing, I know exactly what you mean, but I've had to like get over that now. But I think I cope with that by writing like everything a list. So the night before the next day, I write down Monday, and then I've got to do this at 9, and da da da, and that helps me then.
Does that make you want to be sick? Because that makes me want to be sick.
I kind of try and do that and kind of write. So my thing is to try and make myself feel more organised and like I'm not going to forget things, because I do end up forgetting things.
Yeah.
I make the to-do list, but then I never look at the to-do list ever again. Yeah. And then I just make a new to-do list. And then by that time, I've forgotten half the stuff that was like on the old list.
You are my people.
But like, I'm genuinely really trying. And like, I make the list and I want to tick it all off. I just forget to look at the list ever again.
Yeah, I do. I've just found a list of things to pack for my wedding that I left in my house.
This is like with natural cycles. I'm like, since I got the coil out, my period's been all over the place. I'm like, I want to get on track with it, and you have to take temperature every morning, and you were like, leave it by your bed, and I'm like, yeah but
you won't remember.
I won't look at my
you'll look at it and see it and be like,
and it won't register.
You still just won't do it. That would be me.
And then was like, well, set the alarm and say take your temperature. I'm like, I will see it, and it just won't register.
I will see it, snooze the alarm, and then that's it, done. Yeah, it's gone out of my brain. Yeah. I just won't do it.
I'm on thin ice because I forgot to take my temperature this morning. However, every other day that's a practice thing. I just really got into it. And then every time I'm like, virtual high five, I'm like, hell yeah. Takes 21 days to form a habit.
Yeah.
I'd do it for 21 days. I wouldn't remember.
I think that got debunked recently. It actually takes like 7 months.
Well, that explains a lot.
When I was giving up smoking, I held onto that with both hands. I was like, 21 days. Maybe it's psychosomatic.
Or 21 days to make a habit, but it's a lot longer to break. Oh. Anyway.
Fine.
Anyway.
Interesting. Yeah, I still get drunk and have a cigarette, so I don't know if I'm the one to talk to about that.
Back to your mental health. With your depression and your anxiety, what do you think has helped you? What has contributed to making you feel mentally healthier and in a better place?
I think that's honestly a hard one to answer. Like, the things that I have done over the years are, like, I've tried lots of different medications and things.
Yeah.
I saw a therapist, which was great. But I haven't been on antidepressants or anything for quite a few years now. But then even when I have had like quite bad depressive episodes again. I mean, this is a funny one. I keep then like coming back to the ADHD thing, because it's helped me understand it a bit more. Like, even when I'd been on antidepressants, and this is the thing that then again is frustrating, because I had so many conversations like with doctors and like my therapist, kind of saying, I feel like medication has helped me to a certain extent, like it's definitely like done me some good, I needed it, glad I took it, but I still just feel like there's something wrong, like it's not doing what I thought it should do. Not that I, you know, think antidepressants should make you have like metaphorical like rainbow sunglasses and just think everything's amazing all the time, but it just felt like something was missing. So I kind of have done without that and have been okay without that for the past few years. I think it's a lot of what has helped is kind of accepting it a little bit more and just kind of getting to know, I don't know, kind of not blaming myself so much for it.
Yeah.
Has been quite a big thing, I think.
Yeah.
Can I just like leap back from just thinking with when you were working in your normal job, was your mental health bad then when you were working in the sort of cyberbullying?
Really bad.
Space?
Really, really bad. Like that's the worst it ever was.
So do you think it's got better since you've like worked for yourself and done Instagram and sort of like changed your life?
Yeah, I mean, it's still been up and down, to be honest, but that is, again, one of the like big privileges of being able to work in that kind of job is I can like set my own schedule, if you know what I mean. And like, and also I work with people who are really understanding about mental health, and I'll be like comfortably be very open with them. So if I'm feeling really anxious and I've got like too many things scheduled for the same week, I can kind of just say that.
Yeah.
Or yeah, if I'm just feeling really down and need to not, I don't know, talk about something, or I need to reschedule something, I am lucky to work with people who are great in that regard. And also I think because I've been talking about mental health online for like quite a long time now, people kind of know this about me already, so it's not having to like rehash from the beginning a conversation every single time. Whereas at the beginning you have to be like, okay, I'm struggling with this because X, Y, and Z. And it's like having to let someone into like such a personal part of your life. But yeah, I do think like once you start talking about mental health with people, it does get easier. One, because you've got the practice at it, but two, just because people already know and have an idea. So it's not like you have to spring it on someone. It's where if I say to someone, oh, I'm feeling really anxious about something, they're not surprised now. So like that takes away one kind of hurdle to it. But yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, I think like anything, it's kind of upsides and downsides to working for yourself. So yeah, I'm not like the absolute most organized person in the world. I'm not the best like self-starter. I need deadlines to like make me do things, which yeah, doesn't always lend itself that well. But equally, I think it's a lot easier to kind of try and practice the sort of like mindfulness and like prioritizing your own wellness in a day when you are like in control of the hours that you're doing that day.
And also on the point about talking to people as well, it's like, I don't think we realise, because there is still stigma around mental health, I don't think we know to the full extent of how pervasive mental health problems are. And it's likely that whoever you talk to is will have had, if they don't currently, have had some experience with mental health problems. But I'm wondering how, and you don't have to answer this if you're not comfortable doing so, but I'm wondering how, with your boyfriend, how has it impacted your relationship? Has he been understanding and supportive? And again, you don't have to answer, so you don't want to. But
yeah, no, I mean, he's great. Love him to bits. It definitely does impact relationships. That's the thing. And like, he's great and is really supportive. But at the same time, I think because because I talk about mental health, and also because I've been to therapy, I'm also then like one of those people who goes to therapy and is like, oh my God, everyone should go to therapy. It's so good.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not super shy. I mean, obviously we've been together for a long time and I would trust him anyway, but I'm not really like shy about talking about my feelings anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it's easier in that way, because if I am feeling really down, or I'm feeling something, he doesn't really have to kind of like dig it out of me. Like I'll just say. So then it's obviously easier to like support each other when you know what's going on with someone.
Yeah.
Because that is the difficult thing as well. If you're trying to like come to terms with your own mental health struggles, but also trying to, you don't even have the words yet to articulate it. So trying to like explain to people in your life around you what's going on with you, you don't even really know what's going on with you.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I'm lucky, like, it's a long relationship. So, like, he's had these years of me, like, that one January where I spent the entirety of January under a blanket on the sofa watching Grey's Anatomy. Like, I think I mean, there's a lot of seasons of Grey's Anatomy. I think I watched, like, 12 seasons in a month.
Wow.
Because that's literally just what I did from dusk till dawn. Because I was horrifically depressed and couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is odd behavior to deal with from you know someone that you live with. But he doesn't make me feel like a weirdo when I just need to like, yeah,
that's
but
lovely.
Also tries to make me go for walks and things, which is helpful.
How does that go?
Not always great. But he gets up earlier than I do.
Get
so he's like, come on, let's go for a walk, it'll be good. And I'm like, No, go away. That. But sometimes I do go, and it always is a good thing to do. And then I'm so annoyed that it was a good thing to do. Oh, I'm just looking so smug right now.
I hate when people try to make me go for walks. I hate that.
I love a walk. I go every morning, 7:30. Just love a walk. 6:30 in the winter, because
you have a dog though, which I think that would make me go.
I hate going for walks. I hate it.
I'm annoyed that I just told it the wrong way around. 6:30 in the summer, 7:30 in the winter. I just felt like I was lying. Why would I walk in the dark?
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, it was really annoying me that I just lied. The dog helps. I actually can't see the point of walking without a dog, to be fair. But I just love walking. I just think it's the best thing in the world. If I could be sponsored by walks, that's all I'd need.
Do you know what? I like walks.
Yeah.
But I like going for a proper walk.
Go for a walk.
But I'm from the countryside. So for me, I'm like, I want to go for like an hour or two's walk in a field. I want to see some cows. I want to do like a proper walk.
I can take you on a proper walk.
I have a rove around the streets of London at 7:30 in the morning.
Walk. I can show you horses on this walk. Proper walk.
All right. You show me some good proper walks.
I will. Stand in Collier's Wood. It's a good walk.
I wish I liked that. But I get so bored on walks.
I'm not
going
to tell you how long it is if I want you to go.
No, I'm not going.
It's a good long walk.
No, I like a proper long walk.
Right, fine. Me and
Jim are going walking. But walking around my neighbourhood for the fourth time that week, I'm like, this just couldn't be less fun to me.
Oh, yeah. See, I go around the common every day. I fucking live for it. I'm like, go visit the ducks. They've been growing. I missed them whilst I was away.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, the little ducklings.
If they're little ducklings. Yeah. Fine,
and I see like the same dog, like the parsnip, one of Boo's friends, like see him on the regs. There's a little dog called Max. He's come from Cyprus. And it's like, you know, in Notting Hill, that scene where it goes from like the year that she's away and it says, plays Ain't No Sunshine when she's gone. Mm-hmm. And you see everything change. That's like my life is just like, every hour's walk in the morning is that. And I just get to like, I watch people get pregnant, watch them like, bring their dogs, the dogs get less nervous. It's just a joy. The ducklings are born, then they migrate away. It's a blessing, guys.
Yeah, I mean, if there's like a walking PR council, they really need to hire you. Literally. Oh my god.
I know. I wanna go home for like the National Trust.
It's so full of joy. Walking. You just love life, don't you?
I really do. You said this yesterday. What
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. Good on you.
I'm sat here talking about my depression and you're like, I fucking love life.
Sorry. If it's any consolation, I hate myself. I just love life. You were saying this yesterday about like drinking to like escape reality. I was like, I just kind of like reality. And you just looked so disappointed at me. Oh, you were just like, oh, fuck's sake.
I mean, well, thanks for airing that. I drink to escape my life.
No, you do. We were talking about it in another context. That can probably be removed. Yeah. I really like what you do with Instagram, and I think it would have been really easy for you to I've just changed gear so quickly. I can hear it in my own voice, like, ha ha ha. Anyway, I've got silly. But it would have been really easy for you to just go and do like this sort of like traditional influencer, like whatever. You could just be in Dubai living the life of Riley if you wanted with like whatever. But it really feels like you've taken what you've been given and been like, I'm going to do something actively good with this. Like, I'm going to make a good choice with it. And it feels like it's really lovely to look at it and just be like, this is someone doing something really lovely, just because you can.
That's
like,
so nice,
it doesn't feel like there's an agenda. It's just like, we're just going to like save the planet, be nice to each other and wear cool sunglasses. I'm like, fucking A, Gemma. Yeah, I can get on board with this.
Love your sunglasses.
Thank you.
Yes, love, same.
They're so cute. I'm like, they're so cute. That was a weird word.
Fuck you.
See, I'm trying to be cool.
Don't.
I was just going to say dashing and then I was like, what else can I say?
April,
what can she say? What's a cool word?
Yeah, what's a cool word for like...
April's the coolest person I know, even though she's wearing Crocs right now.
Like your sunglasses are...
Only cool people wear Crocs.
I know.
Peng.
Oh my god.
Okay, forget that.
What's cool? What's cool? I don't know. Just say
they're cool. Sick. They're sick.
I think this is the problem. I think if we care too much about the right cool word for cool, it's just not cool.
Okay. No, force it.
They're lovely. They're just lovely.
Thanks, Alex. Shall I tell you what I think is the coolest thing? People who don't try and be cool.
I agree.
Yeah, okay,
that's
there
it.
You go.
So it's not us. It's like, are we cool?
I've just given up. Like, I'm not a cool person.
But that's the Matt
I'm like a bit
quote.
Boring and quite normal and just not very cool. And the more okay I get with that, the more happy I am with my own self.
100%.
But I find that cool. Yeah. I find that cool. I find it cool to be like who you actually are.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a Matt Haig quote, and it's like, don't, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's like, don't gravitate towards, like, the cool people, because, like, you'll be cool when you're dead. Gravitate towards the warm people, because that's where life is. It's like, that's so nice. I spent so long trying to be cool, and you know what? I probably achieved it for, like, a good few years there, and I wore a lot of eyeliner and elasticated belts, and I was kind of mean to people. I was a bit of a bitch, because I thought it would make me cooler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how sad. And I was so unhappy in myself. Yeah.
I like hit my music taste, my emo stuff, because I was like, I knew that wasn't cool.
Oh, no, I was a full on baby emo.
Pretended
too.
To like house and like,
oh, no.
I don't know, techno, drum and bass for ages. And actually, no, I don't like it. I like emo music.
I to drum and bass for ages. I had a boyfriend at school who said, like, have you heard the song? And I was like, yeah. Got it on my phone.
Love it.
Never heard it. Then I downloaded it. It sounded so bad coming out my Motorola. I was like, oh, the song, and I had to pretend I liked it for ages. My iPod just filled with music I didn't like, and I remember my brother put him on blast, had a Taylor Swift song on his iPod, and it was like early days, and I was like, haha, it's like, why am I doing this? I love that song, and I was so mean to him.
And now here you are, like Betty Bandwagon, like, come on, everyone.
I know, and he loved Coldplay as well, and I always gave him such a hard time. I was like, that is so lame. Like, no one likes Coldplay. Now I'm like, so I'm going to a Coldplay gig.
I mean, you had Girls Aloud on in the car on the way here.
I did, yeah.
I was like, amazing.
When I'm sad, like when I get sad, because sometimes I get like quite irrationally, hysterically sad for no reason. It doesn't last long, but it's just, I'll have like a spiral and then I just pick myself up. And a brilliant way to pick myself up normally is to go for a walk. But I made a playlist, I'll share it with the group. For when I had my surgery done, my last one, when I was awake for, and I had to listen to, it's a very good playlist. It was a big, like 2005 to 2008.
Okay, yeah.
We're saying Timbaland, Girls Aloud, Sugar Babes. It's so good. It's honestly, it's so uncool. And I'm sitting in my car, and it was 3:03, do you remember Starstruck? I was singing that full volume today as I was like going down High Street again. I was like, ha.
Your playlist would actively negatively impact my mood, I think.
But I wouldn't have listened to all of that before because it wasn't very cool. And now it's a vibe.
What music do you like?
I don't listen to a lot of chart music.
I'd say you like cool music.
Yeah, but I just think what most people like at the moment is, like a lot of maybe more kind of like dance music, and that to me, like dance music makes my brain feel itchy. Like I can't physically stand it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Something sensory wise, like I hate it.
Maybe it's a sensory thing.
It's just
you get
way too
irrationally annoyed. Like there's a Lizzo song that everyone loves at the moment, and I've got real beef with it.
I hate it.
I know, it's a great song.
The one about time. Oh yeah, no, I quite like that one.
It's a great song. But it really gets on the nerves.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if it just gets you. It just gets you. But yeah, no, I listen to a lot of like old music, like 70s, 80s.
Do you like Stevie Nicks? You don't like, you might like Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, I do
quite
like Stevie Nicks.
I really get that vibe. Yeah, I feel like that.
Lamb Slide is one of the best songs ever.
Yeah, amazing. I was such a like teenage baby emo. That,
were
like,
you?
I'll still like crack the death cab out when I want to really feel like myself.
And oh, I'm good.
Like,
yeah, great. Okay. So you didn't quite grow out of it?
No, not at all.
Good, okay.
I still just listen to like all the same music. And then, and then some pop music I do really like because it's pop because it's popular and it's popular because people like it.
Yeah.
I'm a person. I like some of it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bandwagon. Gemma, please, this is your stop.
It's not a bandwagon, it's a party bus.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's the best thing anyone's
ever. Did you just make that up?
Yeah. So good. That's going on a fresh pack there.
You have to like make that into a quote, like Canva that up
that
and
was
put
the
that
best
on your
thing
Instagram.
Ever heard.
Because that is so good. It's not a bandwagon, it's a party bus.
Silence.
I don't think you realise the actual genius that you've just come out with.
Unbelievable.
I've literally never been hyped up this much in my entire life.
That's so good.
This is so inspiring. Love that. Okay. Oh, I love that.
I think that's the name of the episode.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a party bus. Oh my God, here's to being really uncool. I fucking love a party bus. Have a look at my Hindu, didn't we?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was a vibe, guys. We're
getting one.
We'll get another.
Love that.
We'll get another. We'll go for a walk with it.
We'll do a big like mental health party bus. ADHD party bus. Everyone's on the bandwagon. We'll be like, come
everyone. I'll be running alongside it.
Gemma, thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll put the link to your podcast in the show notes. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on and for chatting with us. It's been brilliant, so nice. And we've done it in RIL, in real life. And it's been wonderful. Oh, stop it, guys. I'm trying.
Have you had a blast?
I'm obsessed with you today, Alex. I really am. I love it.
IRL, come on.
I think you should stop trying. I think
I should just stop talking, actually. You finished the episode.
No, you were doing great. Carry on.
Thank you, Gemma. Thank you.
Gemma, thank you so much for talking to us. We love you loads. Please come back. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Just a little reminder that if you ever have anything you want us to talk about, please do drop us an email at the shouldidelethatpod@gmail.com email address or on the Should I Delete That Instagram account.
And Should I Delete That is part of the Acast Creator Network. Thank you.